It's Jean Shaw here, and today I'm really pleased to be chatting to Sally Neal because the first time I asked her if she wanted to be interviewed, she turned me down. Can you believe that? Anyway, at the time, Sally said she didn't feel she had enough experience or value to offer anyone. How things have changed. Now Sally has become an incredibly popular, down-to-earth internet marketer with a universal appeal, and her followers of both sexes span the generations. Sally has made a name for herself through her blog, on which she's journaled her online marketing journey. But unlike most blogs, her content is always very informative and fun. She clearly has a great sense of humour, and her content she gives away for free is so easy to understand and absorb, you're able to just soak it up like a sponge. Sally has a way with words, not just the written ones, but also in her audio videos, and has even devised her own phrases for regular readers of her blog. Phrases like the cool crowd, shout out sharers, and people power all mean something significant to the people in what Seth Godin would call her herd. So let's chat to Sally and see what's transformed her from the shy individual with no sense of self-belief into the dynamic dynamo who, despite her short stature, stands head and shoulders above most internet marketers out there. So, Sally, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Jean.
It's a real pleasure to speak to you at last.
No, I did dodge a previous interview request from you, but I was, like you said, I was in a different person back then.
Yeah, it's funny how far you've come in just about a year, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The first time I came across you, you actually visited my blog and left a really nice comment. And you came across as very sort of friendly and genuine. And I'm so pleased to discover that my first impressions of you were correct. And it's so important to create a good first impression, isn't it?
Yes, and I think, obviously, I had visited your blog because you were an Alex Jeffrey student like myself. And Alex had told us to go out and look at what the other students had been doing, so I kind of went on a mission and hunted down previous students and found their blogs, and then I just tried to reach out and connect to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I know how to do that really was to be friendly.
But you weren't putting it on. I mean, you genuinely are a friendly person, aren't you? Because everything you put out online leaves a trail, doesn't it? And people can tend to see through all the hype.
Yeah, you can't fake it.
No, and a lot of people write things, especially on social media sites like Facebook, that they possibly live to regret, don't they? Talking of regrets, you've had a few, really, in as much as that over the years you've bought some products where you felt you've been scammed, haven't you?
I suppose, yeah, it's been on quite some time now, and I have bought some products that perhaps didn't fully deliver on what they had promised.
Mm-hmm.
But that was naivety on my part and chasing the dream.
But I think that's common with most people, isn't it? The thing is, a lot of people are just too embarrassed to admit it. They just kind of brush it under the carpet. And you decided, because of that, that you would make a difference, and decided that anything that you put out there would help other people and would be full in integrity. In fact, you've become what we know call a mad marketer, which is make a difference marketing.
All right, I like that.
Yeah. So, just to have a brief overview of your story, you've done a fantastic job, actually, in your book, The Newbie's Next Chapter, which is really, really easy to read. And a lot of the information you give out, you tell in the form of stories, don't you?
Yes. I like to write in that way.
Yeah, it's a very powerful and effective way to get your message across, isn't it? Do you think, did you do any copywriting courses? Because you're very articulate, so is that your background?
No, I've never really done a copywriting course. I would, of course, love to do John Carlton's, which has a very good reputation online, but I've personally not taken any particular course. I guess it's just been from reading other ebooks and kind of trying to find my own style. But that I realised when I was reading other ebooks, I often became quite bored, and sometimes ebooks can be like 60-70 pages, and it quite daunting reading through all those pages, so I thought it would be nice to maybe try something different and inject a little bit of humour throughout the report to try and keep the reader's interest.
In fact, a lot of your books have like a childlike quality, a kind of innocence to them, straight to the point, but no fluff and fillers, and as I say, like a childlike quality. And I notice that you keep your language very simple and your paragraphs very short, which is really good because that means that anybody can read them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think when I'm writing, I always keep in mind that I shouldn't be too technical, and like you said, keep it nice and simple, and that means that anyone with kind of any education level, whatever level they're at, doesn't matter, they'll still be able to understand it.
Well, that's it, because you're not trying to impress people with the quality of your dialogue, are you? It's the quality of your content, and clearly you have a lot to offer. You actually got started on eBay, didn't you, by selling digital products?
Yep, digitally downloaded ebooks. It was one day I was on eBay and I was with, I think it was my little sister, and she's obsessed with fruit machines, and she's seen this ebook, and it was basically how to cheat fruit machines and win lots of money from them, which obviously didn't work. But the ebook was 99 cents or 99p, and we bought it. And then immediately after we bought it, we got an email from the seller offering us some key that you could put in a fruit machine that apparently enhanced the chances of knowing if the machine was ready to pay out or not, the fruit machine. So she wanted that as well. So I think we ended up spending about £13. And I thought, my goodness, he's just sold us an ebook on eBay and then took us away from eBay and sold us something else. And I thought, that looks like a really good way to make money. And that's what started me on the journey of finding out how to sell ebooks on eBay.
And you got very good at it because you even wrote your own book, didn't you? How to Start a Profitable eBay Business.
I kind of got a name for myself from selling the ebooks, and people knew that I was doing it successfully, and they started asking me if I would write a tutorial for it so that they could copy me. And so basically I did. If someone asked, I just did it, and it was a really big hit and lots of people loved it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And also at that stage, you were an early adopter, really, of building a list, weren't you?
Yes. I discovered quite early that building a list was very important, obviously, for following up with your customers. And eBay was just... I managed to grow, I think, about a 10,000 subscriber list just from eBay. And basically all I'd done was, every month I offered 5 free ebooks if they wanted to join my list, and that's what people did. And then they would tell their friends about, you can get these 5 free ebooks every month if you sign up. And it kind of took a viral path, and I just started getting opt-ins. It went on from there, it just grew and grew and grew.
So how did Alex come into your life? Did he buy your ebook, or did you buy his ebook? Because there was something about eBay that connected you, wasn't there, initially?
Yeah, it was actually his wife, Katie. She was kind of helping Alex find affiliates for his product, which was called Easy Profit Auctions. And she was on the Warrior Forum, and she seen that I was selling books on eBay. So she sent me an email and gave me a complimentary copy of Easy Profit Auctions to review and possibly promote. And Alex always tells everybody it was him that emailed me, but it wasn't, it was Katie. And I looked at the product and I was blown away, it was absolutely amazing. And I was like, yeah, sure. So because I got the complimentary access, I actually got access into the forum. And it was actually in that forum where I started to share my knowledge about selling ebooks on eBay, and all the forum members started saying, Sally, have you got an ebook I can read? You know, I really want to learn all this stuff from you.
All right, that's fantastic. And then you went offline for a while, didn't you? You got kind of disillusioned?
Yes, eBay banned digital downloads. So they changed it that you could no longer deliver an ebook digitally online. You had to physically ship out the CD. And the whole point of me doing an e-book business was that it was automated and that I didn't have to make trips down to the post office and send out all these CDs. So I just quit. I had had enough and I just wanted to get away. So I went away for about 18 months.
But during that time, times got a bit hard, didn't they? And you decided that maybe you needed a second income. And just about that time when you were thinking about it, Alex came back into your life, didn't he?
Yep, he popped back in again. I put a post on my blog, and it was just basically a personal post, and I was just saying sorry for disappearing for 18 months, and I'd felt really bad. And Alex was like, "Hey, Sally, glad to see you back." And he just said that he would be launching some coaching soon, and if I wanted to promote it as an affiliate, here was the link.
That's great. And from there on, you obviously got into his coaching course. And one of the things that he says is, stop chasing the money, let the money chase you. And you kind of adopted that idea, which is something which is hard for a lot of people to comprehend, really, especially if they are desperate for the funds. But when you are desperate, that is the time you've really got to back off, because people sense your desperation, don't they? And everything that you do seems to put people off rather than attract them to you.
Yeah, it's just that I've had, and I think people can tell you're just desperate for cash, and it's not a nice place to be in. So I thought, right, I'll do what Alex said, and I followed his coaching to the letter. Everything Alex told me to do, thought I'll do it. And that's what he said, don't chase money, let money chase you, or let money chase me, whatever way. That was all I did. I just thought, right, I'm not going to push affiliate links in people's faces, I'm not going to email out constantly or anything. I'm just going to try and learn this and share my journey as I go along.
Because internet marketing is, there is a huge learning curve, isn't there? And it's not easy. And at the beginning, it can be time consuming. So it must have been kind of difficult for you, because you, at the time, you had a full-time job, and then you had your young daughter Jade to look after, and then you had to try and learn all this internet marketing stuff and apply it during the evenings or the early mornings probably. Mm-hmm. And it must have been hard, in some ways it may have been to your advantage that you weren't married at the time, because I should imagine for a lot of people it causes quite a strain on relationships, because it's like having the computer can be like having a third person in the marriage, as it were. And especially if you're not making money at the beginning and there's nothing to show for all your effort, I think it can cause an awful lot of problems.
I think that is exactly what you said. It's like your partner understands that you're on the computer and you're trying to make money, and you've maybe been doing it for 3 months now, night after night, and they're like, you're on that computer again, and like you said, there's nothing to show for it. There's no big profits, no apparent gain, and they just don't seem to understand. But it gets quite addictive.
Well, that's true, especially when you get into contact with people on forums or people on the same journey as you, and they may be also struggling, but you've got a common bond, haven't you? So by keeping in contact with them, it kind of gives you the encouragement to go on and not give up. Because I find that most people I speak to, their immediate friends and family haven't got a clue what they actually do and just can't understand, and they and try to ridicule them. And
I do actually have kind of that problem myself with my friends, and they're always like, are you coming out this weekend, there's blah 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 party, and I'm like, no, I've got to do stuff on the computer, because they don't really understand what I'm doing. And one of my friends actually said to me, like, the money you make though, it's not real money, is it? And I was like, it's not real money, of course it's real money. And she thought it was some kind of monopoly money where you just kind of accrued credits online and basically used them for other things. But they didn't even realise it was real money that I was making.
That's strange. But that is quite believable, because I think there's still a lot of people that think that the internet is purely selling stuff on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean by selling stuff, not somebody else's products, but like your household items that you might not necessarily want anymore.
And I think a lot of people still under the belief that you can't make money online, and it's all kind of a scam, and people are just after your money, but they won't actually ever make any money themselves.
This is true. So you really have to listen to people who've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, don't you? Rather than people who are going to put you down all the time. So in your online ventures, Jade is included, certainly in her photographs. Does she understand what Mummy's doing?
Yeah, she does understand. It took her a little while to get her head around it. And there's a funny story that the other day my mum told me that her and her friends were playing in the garden, and they were all speaking about what their parents worked as. And like, one little girl was like, my mum's a dinner lady. Someone else is like, oh, my mum's a nurse. And they all said to Jade, what's your mum? And Jade said, she's the block hopping queen. And they just all looked at her as if, like, what's that?
I can imagine they think you wore a tiara or something and went hopping around like a frog or something on to find these blogs, whatever they were.
Yeah, so I think it was a bit of a conversation killer. And I'm surprised if she's got any friends left.
Is she a subcontractor? Are you including her as a business, a tax write-off? I know I was listening to Jason Fladlian the other day, and he has a one-year-old daughter, and he said he uses her photos in some of his promotions. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she is his subcontractor, so he actually pays her a salary. Yeah, so you might want to consider that, because Jade is in a lot of your promotions, isn't she? Her photos.
Yeah, well, don't tell her that. She'll be asking me for more pocket money.
Yeah, you can give her a trust fund, and she could be very rich by the time she's 18 or whatever.
Actually, yeah, and that would probably give her... But she doesn't really need incentive. She's always asking, Mummy, can I come in a video with you? But if I was paying her, she would certainly want to do it more.
So at the beginning, clearly the success that you've had is through your blog. And initially you did a lot of this blog hopping that Jade associates you with. So it took a lot of time. Did you keep then a dig sheet for your time management? Because time is something you just can't get back, can you?
No, you can't. But really, the whole reason the blog hopping started was obviously because as a Marketing with Alex student, he ran a traffic competition, and you basically had 4 weeks to get as much traffic as you could. So literally for those 4 weeks, night after night after night, all I did was go out and search for blogs and leave comments, because I didn't have money to pay for traffic, and I didn't really know any other ways to generate traffic, and I thought that was my best way. So for 4 weeks solid, I just consistently visited people's blogs, and I made sure that I signed up to their RSS feed, so I would be notified instantly of a new post if they made it. And I would try and get the first comment, because I knew getting that first comment, any subsequent visitor to that blog would see my comment. And because I was always on people's blogs, I was getting there before them. They're all like, how are you getting on all these blogs before me? And it kind of started a little buzz of its own, you know, how's Sally doing this?
From the blog hopping, you went on to do other things, didn't you? But you had fears initially of stepping out of your comfort zone, which I think everybody does. Certainly I spoke to Lee McIntyre, and he was telling me about his fears. And really, fear is just false expectation appearing real, isn't it? And he said the way he got over it was to sort of say, well, what's the worst that can happen? Okay, you might make a fool of yourself, or people might not like you, but then you can't appeal to everybody anyway, can you?
No, you can't. And I quite agree with Lee. And I think when you're afraid of doing something, the fear builds, and you focus solely on what's going to go wrong, rather than flipping it around and thinking, okay, just imagine I did it and it worked. You know, thinking the benefit of it. And I think that helped me. I thought, right, I'm not focused on what could go wrong. I'll focus on, if I get it right, what will happen.
That's it, because there's that old saying, isn't it? What you think about, you bring about. So you just got to think positive all the time, haven't you?
I think because at the time I was actually listening to an audio of the 4-hour work week, and in that, I don't know the exact quote that gets used, but it's something like the things you fear most are the things you most need to do.
And that's what you do now, isn't it? Anything that you don't want to do, or
Do it.
you do it and you do it straight away, don't you? So, like in the morning, if you got up and you had something to do that day, you would get that you didn't particularly want to do, you got it over and done with at the beginning.
Just
Otherwise,
get it out
yeah.
of the way.
Otherwise, you think about it all day long, don't you? So you went from your fear of raising your hand in a webinar and actually speaking, being interviewed or actually doing an interview, and then then you did video tutorials, PowerPoint videos, and finally holding your own webinar. And you've conquered all those fears, and you're still here to tell the tale. So nothing happened. Amazing.
No one laughed at me, no one said anything bad, no one, because I remember when I was going to do the videos and obviously get in front of the camera myself and put them on YouTube. And it's kind of silly, but you're terrified that people are going to put comments that you're ugly and really stupid things like that, because I thought I'll put this up and I'll get all these negative comments, and it doesn't happen. It just didn't happen.
Well, I don't think people are that, I don't know what the word is really, but they see behind what you actually look like. They see that you're a real person, and I think people like that. It is like this reality TV. I mean, some of the things on there are pretty rubbish, but people like to see other people. That we like to know what others are doing, and we like to follow their journeys as well. And you come across as a very real sort of person, and although you can't walk in other people's shoes, none of us can, you've sort of been there, done that, got the t-shirt, so you can have empathy with what others are struggling with, certainly in the internet marketing world anyway.
Yeah, and I understand that people struggle. I was scared to put my photograph online. I was scared to speak. I was scared to get in front of the camera. But I think we kind of all go through that, and I'm proof that. I mean, I was a big scaredy cat, so I really do believe if I can do it, anybody can.
But people need to hear that, you see, because they think that they're on their own, that nobody else feels that way. And when you actually put it down in words, or you open it out to the universe, then other people say, well, hey, that's just how I feel. And it just helps so much, so much, yeah.
That's exactly what I try and do, and I think that's why people always think my blog is so real. It's even when I did the interview with David Walker and actually put in my blog post, my heart was pounding, I was sweating, my mouth was all dry. I try and be very real about how I actually felt when I was doing it.
That's a really interesting thing about your blog, because it's simple in design, not too many distractions, but every post has a message, doesn't it? It's not just in your face marketing.
Yep, I always try and share some value of some sort, because people are taking the time to come and visit your blog, so I want to give them something back in return. And if I can do something and then help them to then do that after me, then I'm happy.
And I love your blog titles. They always arouse curiosity, particularly the one that said 38-year-old webinar virgin seeks experienced partner. I mean, I'm sure that would have appealed to different people on so many levels. I mean, they do say sex sells, doesn't they? So
Yeah, they do. And I think I have had quite a few hits on my site for people who weren't particularly searching for that kind of content.
yeah, this is the thing. Keywords, although you don't actually write for the search engines, do you? You write for people. Keywords are king. I know my blog, I have a blog called jeansmenopausalmoment.com blog, and it's got nothing to do with the menopause. It's all about change and how you can change your life if you want to. But I think people get on there and a bit disappointed sometimes, because it's not talking about hormones and stuff like that.
Well, probably some people are disappointed when they hit my blog as well, but you never know, maybe a few read it and then
Oh,
have a
I don't
listen.
think they'd be disappointed when they reach your blog because it's such
I
fun.
think they would if they're looking for a 38-year-old virgin.
Oh, well, they would now because it's your birthday today. So happy birthday, Sally Neal.
Thank you.
I think actually you're a perfect age, actually, because you appeal to all the different age groups. I mean, you're not too old to be out of reach to the young 20-somethings, but you're mature enough to appeal to the older generation, and you just sort of generally appeal to everybody, really, because your content is solid, so that's good. So you've come an enormous way in the last year of your life, both financially and in your relationships. Now, the internet marketing world is notoriously male-dominated arena. So how difficult was it for you when you were Alex's affiliate manager? Like when you went to the workshops and things, were you treated like one of the boys or?
I think I was pretty much treated like everyone else. I was quite scared when I was going to meet these kind of high top level marketers, and I was, but when I got there, I realized, you know, they're just exactly like us and they're not any different. They were really, really friendly, and they were, I mean, I was quite shocked that John Thornhill actually said, "Oh, I seen on your blog that you moved house," and I was like, "Oh my God, I didn't even know you read my blog," you know, so I was quite surprised.
So did you kind of feel intimidated then? Because these people that have already had a reputation, did you kind of feel insignificant next to them?
I did, and I did, and they were maybe standing there and saying that they had, you know, they just did their last launch and they had made $50,000 and things like that, and then they would turn around and say to me, "So what do you do online?" And I was very intimidated, you know. You've got to remember, they started off little too.
Well, absolutely. So it just depends, I suppose, how people value success, doesn't it? If it's just purely a monetary terms, then perhaps they are more successful than you at the moment, but it is early days yet. But as far as success, as far as achieving something and having your own following, I mean, it's a huge thing actually to just suddenly put up a blog in the middle of cyberspace and have people from all over the world and all walks of life follow you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's kind of crazy.
And you thought it was kind of crazy when you went to a recent marketing event and people actually wanted their photographs taken with you.
Yeah, I actually remember saying to Alex that I felt famous, you know, and he was laughing, but it was just surreal to be standing there and for people to come over and say, "Oh my God, Sally Neal, I read your blog and I've read your ebooks." They were like, "Can I get my photo taken with you?" And I was like, "This is just crazy." And I could see people shaking because they were speaking to me, and I thought, you know, why are people nervous speaking to me? I'm just Sally Neal, I'm not anything big online, you know.
I know, but I'm guilty as charged because I did have my photo taken with you as well. But I know what you mean because when I wrote my first book about my son who's got autism, it was called I'm Not Naughty, I'm Autistic, Jodie's Journey. And I was in Tesco's and this woman came up to me and she said, "You're Jean Shore, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes," sort of thinking, "Oh dear, what have I done?" And she said, "Can I have your autograph?" And as you say, it's so surreal. It's, you know, just kind of weird anyway. But you've acquired a tremendous amount of knowledge about the internet marketing world and you're about to share it with a new coaching course.
Yep, I am. People have been asking me for quite some time. Just kind of like you asked me for the interview, and I was like, "No, I've got enough knowledge." And people were asking for coaching, and I didn't really want to do it because I never really felt I had enough knowledge to share it. That's probably a belief thing again. But Alex, I took a job with Alex and created a membership site with him, so I felt a little safer because Alex was by my side, kind of holding my hand, and I did all the video tutorials and got a lot of good feedback from the students saying that the coaching was great. So I thought, right, okay, going to step out and do it myself now.
Well, that's fantastic, because a lot of coaching programs out there are just a bit too scary for many, because they are the people that have been around a long time and seem to know it all. But you're very much in touch with what's going on currently, aren't you? Because although you might say you're only a few steps up the ladder from complete beginners, you'll be able to relate to them much better than, or people will be able to relate to you much better than people who have been on for years and have all the contacts behind them.
Yes, exactly, because I think that a big part of working online is obviously leverage, and when you start out you don't have any leverage, so you can't rely on that, and you've pretty much got to do everything yourself. And I've been there and had to go through it and do all of that, so I know the steps that you need to take to kind of get to that point.
But another thing is, there are also on the other end of the scale people that do a course or buy an ebook or something and then suddenly claim to be an expert. But you actually do know what you're doing and are proof of the products, a product of the product, in fact.
And I can always refer back to my blog, because, like, I use the blog as the online journal, so people can look back and say, oh, look, 6 months ago, Sally was just learning how to do interviews, and 3 months ago, she was just learning how to get in front of the camera. So people can see that I'm real.
That's true. And also, you have got a lot of social proof, haven't you, with your contacts, people who know you and are very fond of you and will support you. So when you get, like, guru status, Sally, you're not going to buy a Ferrari, are you?
I would buy a convertible Mini, because I'm a Mini fanatic.
Have you still got your Mini? I know that was one of the first things you bought when you got some money on.
Yeah, still got it.
Oh, fantastic. I actually interviewed Joel Terrian, the CEO of Global Virtual Opportunities, once, and he's got a Ferrari, and I asked him what would the deal with it was, and he admitted that it didn't really mean too much to him. He said he couldn't really care less about it, but it was all to do with perception, because basically people want to work with successful people, and the Ferrari just provided social proof for him. So,
all right. Oh well, then I don't know. I can see the thinking behind that. But personally, I don't know if it's because I'm female, but Ferraris don't interest me.
No, I'm the same. In fact, I don't know a lot about cars. If somebody says, you know, what kind of car has he or she got, I say it's a red one or a silver one or something. I'm pretty pathetic, really. But success for people is sort of different for everybody, isn't it? So would you say that you've achieved success now? At what point would you say you'd achieved your ultimate success?
Well, I actually thought when I first went to work for Alex that was quite successful, because I had given up my offline job. But then a few months down the line, I realised I had basically just swapped one job for another job, obviously a better job. And I did learn lots from Alex, obviously, and I got a lot of confidence from it. But I think I only truly felt successful when I actually had stopped working for Alex. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but that was the first time when I was standing on my own two feet. I think to me, that was success, because I didn't have a boss. If I didn't want to get up that day, I didn't have to. If Jade had to go to a doctor's appointment or the dentist, I don't have to ask my boss if I can get that day off or if I can get away early. I can pretty much do what I want, and that's what I was always wanting to achieve, more freedom and to be able to do more stuff with Jade.
That's great. And so hopefully your new coaching programme, which you're launching tonight, called Learn With Sally, will be your next chapter in your Happy Ever After. I love that, the name for that ebook that you've just written, that Newbie's Next Chapter. Are you a keen fan of Shrek? I should imagine with Jade you do watch a lot of children's programmes, do you?
Yeah, and I've quite like Shrek because he's got a Scottish accent.
Yeah, so do you think then that you might be finding your prince, like Princess Fiona? Do you think your Happily Ever After will produce an internet marketing Shrek?
I don't know. I'm actually very comfortable in my life now. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat there. That's because I've been trying to kiss them.
You have to kiss a few, I hear, until you find the prince.
Kiss them, don't swallow them. No, I'm quite happy in my life just now. You know, I've got a comfortable life, comfortable financially, and I can do what I want with my friends. And like you said, it can be quite hard to have a relationship and do internet marketing because they don't always understand the time that you put in.
No, that's absolutely right. My husband hasn't got a clue what I do. I mean, if anyone asks him what I do, he says, oh, I don't know, she spends a lot of time on the computer. Anyway, I really, really, really appreciate you speaking to me because I know that you're very busy and I've got no doubt at all that there will be a lovely happy ever after story, not just for you, but anyone lucky enough to get on your course and indeed follow your blog. So is there anywhere people should go to find more? Is it just sallyneil.com and that's spelled N-E-I-L-L?
Yeah, sallyneil.com, or they can just visit learnwithsally.com.
Okay, well that's great. And also I will put a page up on my jeanshawinterviews.com for Sally Neil. Happy birthday for the rest of the day. Good luck with your coaching course tonight, and I do hope your internet doesn't go down because I know the other night you had a webinar, or at least you didn't have a webinar because you lost all your internet, didn't you?
Yeah, and unfortunately these things happen, you know, it's sod's law. I had everything all set up and everybody had registered and was good to go, and then bam, the internet goes down and I wasn't prepared. I didn't have a backup for that, so I've learned from that and went and got a dongle internet connection, so anytime that happens I should just be able to switch over. But it's all even still for me, everything's still a learning curve, and you will come up against these obstacles and problems, but next time they come up you'll be able to face them.
But that's the good thing about it, Sally, because it keeps it real, doesn't it? And you can't get much realer than that.
I know, and I got a lot of sympathy from people, you know, all saying to me, oh, poor you and everything like that, because genuinely online people are nice and they do care about you. And people say it's online relationships, it's not a real relationship or anything, but I don't believe that. I've made a lot of friends online and I actually truly care about them, and I know they care about me.
That's fantastic. Okay, Sally, well thank you very, very much, and I know that your relationships that you build will just keep getting stronger and stronger, and I'm quite sure that pretty soon, although you think that not many people know who Sally Neil is, in a few short months, everybody will know who Sally Neil is. Anyway, okay, well, take care.
You too, and it was lovely to meet you.
And you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.